Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Apparently, you're supposed to tell your mom everything. So to her, like, I gotta share all my secrets because, you know, I'm always up with that of the day. What is she gonna do?
She's not gonna do no harm.
My biggest up. Something I don't like, but I think is very common. The idea of, like, the trauma Olympics. If you're not traumatized enough, then why are you even talking to me, you know? That's, like, the mind.
But no, I definitely got compared to a lot. I'm not gonna lie, it really, really did get to me. Just, like, made me upset at my mother for not recognizing all that I am good at, you know, and all that I do. You know,
like, my parents were never, like, try to get good grades like him. It was more so, like, I wish he was my son. Welcome back to another podcast episode. Today's episode is going to be interesting because we are going to be talking about something that maybe a lot of us have dealt with and are still dealing with, where if you are facing a lot of like gatekeeping energy, scarcity mindset, where you feel like other South Asians can't really see you win when you do share any sort of success. We're going to be talking about how maybe our parents have gone through this, our grandparents, and like the actual root of this problem. So think about like generational survival, think about immigration, think about just like the lottery system of even coming to America, coming out of the villages with little to nothing and getting accepted into college. So if you want to learn about why some brown people don't support other brown people and why competition is a huge thing, then make sure to keep on watching or listening because we really go hard with all of the things that we came up with for this episode. Welcome back to our podcast called Difficult Dish, a podcast about different South Asian narratives. This is my co-host, and his name is...
Hi, Masha Munir. And this is my co-host right here.
Hi, I'm Mahua Khan, and we actually have a guest here today.
We do. Can you... You didn't know this was a guest podcast.
So if you guys are not watching the episode on YouTube,
you're
then
missing
you will
out.
Not know who the guest is. But just know that... He is present today in today's episode.
Who is it though?
We're talking about the thing that's on your shoulder. Other shoulder. what's his name?
This is Remy the Rat. yeah, I mean, I got this at Disney World. It's like a magnetic, like...
If you guys didn't know, he's a very big Ratatouille fanatic. Yeah. Where the other day he had a nice solo night. You know, you would expect a man on a solo night to like... have some hookah, maybe do some partying, maybe like have his boys over. Tell me why he watched the Ratatouille short film, because they made a short film of Remy's brother.
Yeah, I mean, it was with Remy's brother. It was about them. It was about like the two of them trying to convince the world that like rats and humans are actually meant to be friends, and like rats are poorly portrayed,
represented.
Because you know, like you know where the hatred with rats started. Mm. The rat plague in the 1300s.
That makes sense.
But you know what's interesting?
What's interesting?
It wasn't even rats.
It was
the flea that got onto the rats. And then when the rats would be on cargo ships, the fleas would jump from the rat to the human. So the rat had nothing to do with it.
I feel the same way about pigeons. They were domesticated and they were pets once upon a time. And they were so integral in our society and in our households. But now they're... disregarded and they are looked at as disgusting and just throw away.
I hear you.
So I get
it's a lot in common. A lot in common. Yeah, so you know, you like next time you see a rat,
hug him.
I understand. Buddy.
You want me to like, you know? Go up close to a New York City subway rat?
Just empathize. You'd be like, I get it, man.
I understand.
You know. Yeah.
Okay.
I guess so you can say bye to Remy now. He'll be watching from right here.
He'll be watching. He's always there watching.
Yeah, what's up? Like, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. You know what I've been thinking about lately?
Huh.
It's nice to have a supportive partner. Yeah. You didn't think I was going to go there, right?
I didn't know what you were starting off
with. It's just nice to have a supportive partner because it's like, you know, the past almost 5 years, just having someone that you're with that roots for you and genuinely wants you to win because you think of it as like a dual partnership instead of like, oh, this is her business and she'll do it herself, she'll figure it out. Yeah, I'll figure it out. But it's also really nice to have someone that like is in it, is in it with you, you know? Like, whenever I say I'm stressed with something, I love the fact that you're like, oh, how can we do it together? Like, how can we tackle this problem together?
That's very interesting.
You know? you think that's interesting?
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I hope you do get that one day. You know, I'm not going to lie.
You're so annoying.
That is very nice. You know, I just do it. You want me to be honest?
Yeah. Let's be honest.
I just, like, I'm really excited to just, like,
what?
Bebop whatever I want, like, you know, like, you know, that's what I'm going through. No, I'm kidding. Support you.
You feel the same with me?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's called a partnership. You understand?
Yeah. Because, you know, there are partners that, like, are supporting you from, like, far away, which is all right. There's some different personalities. There are partners that don't even want to be involved in that because they're like, oh, that's your avenue. But then there are some people who are, like, in it with you because they see, like, the long-term vision and how it will affect both of you guys.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, imagine you, like, pop out, like, in a week. You're like, yeah, you know, just did my photo shoot for my new collection. I would be like, without notifying me?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
That would blow my mind.
Yeah, that would never, like, happen.
Me not being a part of every step of the process. That's absolutely insane. Yeah, it's a good... nice thing for you to say.
Yeah, I hope you appreciate that.
I feel the same.
Your partner?
I went to go get my coffee this morning.
Right.
And whenever I get my coffee, there's like three people that work at the shop.
Yeah.
Two of them always give me my nitro cold brew because it comes from like a tank. But this one guy...
never gives a
very drink. Shy, awkward, very fragile kind of guy.
Who says that?
Whenever I go, he never gives it to me.
Right.
Never. I don't think he's ever. I've asked him at least 15 times.
What
he
do you
said,
think it is?
He says we're out.
What do you think?
Sorry, we're out.
You think he's just like intimidated by you? I had
a few hypotheses. One was just like he takes all the nitro cold room like home at night, and like he drinks it because why is it only him? Another theory was just like,
and guys, it's true. Like I saw this firsthand.
I've shown this.
Maybe
to multiple
I can
people.
Go next time when he's working and see if he gives it to me.
So, and I also think that it's like maybe he just like, cause like you got to pull a lever.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's just like not strong enough to pull the lever. So instead of saying like, hey, I can't,
right?
You know, he says we're out,
right?
So I never knew. So today, mm-hmm. went to go get the coffee. Same fragile boy comes out. He got nitro cold brew. He looks at the lever. He looks at it. He's like, we don't got none. Looks back at me. And this time, I stood my ground.
Oh, wow.
I stood my ground this time. I said, hey, little boy.
You did not say little boy because he's a grown man. He's older than you.
I said, hey, little boy. You are the only individual that, like, doesn't give me cold brew. Like, are you sure you're out?
Right.
And he was like, And he was just like thinking for a second. I was just like,
he didn't think you were going to pull
up
with that.
Yeah, because he's a fragile boy. So then I doubled down. I was like, maybe try pulling on it harder. Because like everyone
else. You should have offered to like go behind the bar.
I wasn't. That's ridiculous. That's something like your mother would do.
That's true.
And I'm like, okay, can you pull it harder? And guess what? Pulls on it harder. Two hands. Comes out.
And that's what happens when you stand your ground.
Moral of the story, believe in yourself.
Wow.
You know, like if there's something that like, you know.
Moral this early in the story.
Right. This is the advice. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm happy.
So why
happy
do you think today. He just never gave it to you?
I think it's as simple as just like he never even tried. Mm-hmm. You know what it is? I'm the only person in New York City that drinks nitro cold brew. So
here.
I think I'm the first person he's just ever made a nitro cold.
Well, now you made him learn a new lesson.
Yeah.
And fear, face of fear.
Facts. Shout out to me.
Not the philanthropist.
Shout out to
Mashun coming through. But anyway, we are talking about something interesting in this episode. Something that you actually brought up. Can you give a little background history on this topic?
History.
Hey.
No, I mean I just thought of it because we posted on Instagram like a week ago or some the South Asian pet peeves question. We asked you guys for your South Asian pet peeves, and my good friend Farhan said that his pet peeve is like South Asian creatives not supporting South Asian creatives.
Yeah.
And I thought about that and I was like, like I see how that is true. And then I just kind of broadened it. I was just like, oh yeah, you know, like apart from just the creativity world, you know, we'll touch on that too. But
Like, what are the roots of
in
this?
All realms, like,
yeah,
we got issues supporting each other. Yeah, I think our community just has our own reasons for, you know, finding ourselves unsupportive of each other.
I was a little bit hesitant before recording this episode because I was like, I don't want to just emphasize that South Asians are competitive with one another or gatekeeping or don't want to see other South Asians win, because I don't want to generalize again, right? But also, we can't, like, negate the fact that this happens, and it's a very big part of our culture where there's a lot of scarcity mindset going on, a lot of competitiveness, a lot of just hiding things from one another so that they don't win. And I feel like it would be an injustice to not talk about it. Yeah, obviously, we're not saying that this is just our background and our culture that is, you know, maybe more competitive or doesn't want another person to win. But we also can't say that, like, we haven't seen this growing up and it isn't, like, a big part of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm excited about this one because we're breaking it down from, like, the roots. Trying our best to break it down.
Trying to.
With some of the examples that we have in mind and some of the root causes. But don't expect, like, a solution from this episode. Maybe we'll do a part two where we can talk about collaboration and community and how to actually foster that instead of competing with one another.
That's a good idea,
because we really had to unlearn that, you know.
That's a good idea.
Like, me and you both grew up with, like, that scarcity mindset, competing with one another to, like, win and get that first spot.
Indeed.
But, like, we had to unlearn it as we got older and older. So maybe if you guys like this episode and you let us know in the comments or in our DMs, we'll do a part two on how to actually collaborate and make wholesome friendships that collaborate with
you. We'll make that happen because you're pretty good at that. Pretty good at
that.
I think so.
Oh, wow.
Pretty good at that, not gonna lie.
That warms me. But in this episode, we're really gonna just, like, break it down. You know, break it down. Some of the three topics that we are gonna be talking about is scarcity mindset. Where does that root from? We're gonna talk about just respectability and competitiveness. Communism, competitiveness.
All right.
And then we're going to be talking about gatekeeping and why many of us might have grown up with that and kind of the root causes on that. So excited about this one, buddy.
Yeah, excited about this one. What's up? Like, you did, like, a little, like, history session with this one, no? Like,
yeah,
you
like, did just a little, like, research. You know, it's so fun when we think of these episodes because, like, sometimes when he ideates the episode, like, brings up the topic, I'm the one that kind of does, like, the behind-the-scenes research on, like, how to expand it and, like, the topic points that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're the A and then I'm the B and then we bring it together. We're an ABC.
Please start the episode, like, at this point.
All right. The first thing that we're going to talk about is scarcity mindset, right?
What's that?
You know what scarcity mindset is. But if you didn't.
Remind me.
But scarcity mindset is when you feel like there isn't enough room at the top or at the table because it is very limited. So you feel like you have to keep your resources close to you. You don't want to share it because you just want to get to the top and you don't think anyone else can get to the top with you. Like, there isn't enough room, right? So the opposite of this is abundance mindset, where you think that there's more than enough room at the table. You're happy to share your resources. You're happy to get to the top with other people. But I think a lot of us grow up with the scarcity mindset.
Yeah, like, where does it, like, derive from?
I was just about
to, I know.
Like, why did he just explain
to me? Yeah, like, where does it, like, come from? You understand?
I think one thing is, like, so there's a few things, right? There's generational struggle and survival, right? So Bangladesh is a very newfound country. Like, we just got our independence in 1971, right? So we just got our independence not so long ago, and many of our grandparents and even our parents might have grown up in the villages, and the only way to really get out of the village is to get really high marks and get into college, maybe in the city area, right? And usually when you are competing to get these high marks,
you're competing against
the rest of the kids, and there are higher stakes but less like outcome. There is a high chance that you're not going to be able to get out of the village, so there's, like, more weighing on you, and it's, like, more of your parents' struggles weighing on you as well. And then also on top of that, I don't know if your mom has ever told you these stories, or your dad, where when you're in class, there's like a first class student, second class student, and third class student. Like, based off of your grades, there's a rank in each class where you're like the highest ranking student in that class.
So like the class knows like who's number one, two, and three.
Like your number one student, there's number two, there's number three student.
Damn.
And it's basically like gold, silver, bronze, like in third grade, like in any elementary school grade, you know? So like there was always this like, you know, kissing butt to the teacher to try to get first class.
Yeah.
Going to the teacher's house to get tutored by them. Just like trying to get to that level of success, because once you're past three, it's like you're nobody, you know? So people refer to one another as like, oh, he's like the first class student.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Dang, I didn't know all that. I didn't know all that. Thank God they didn't like name number 25. That'd be me. Sorry guys. 25
out of 25 or
huh,
25 out of 25?
Probably 27. Like, I was never last.
And then on top of that, a lot of people who are trying to get out of Bangladesh, or like these South Asian countries, or just like any, you know, third world, I'm saying this with like
quotation marks,
third world country, if they're trying to make it big in America and finally get their green card or visa or whatever it is, it's usually based on like a lottery system, right? Or it's usually based on like good merit. And again, there are millions of people in Bangladesh who are also trying to come to America for a better life or whatever it is. And they've been in the process for years and years trying to get their visa to get approved.
Yeah.
And it is, we all know people in our family who are in this process, and it's like there's no ending to it, right? And it's really based off of good luck and merit and a lottery system, basically, and just like who you know, who sees your application. And I think because of this, people feel like they have to, there's only one person left. There's only one person who can really win, because they see everyone around them who hasn't gotten to that point. You know?
It's like, it's interesting because, you know, in today's age, like growing up in America, we always hear, like, we learn from each other that like, oh, like there is enough, there is enough whatever for anyone, like there's enough room at the table for everyone, blah blah blah. But like for like kids growing up in Bangladesh, they probably have like their parents and everyone, their community, telling you that like the exact opposite, like there you better know that there is not enough room, there is not enough space to make everyone happy. There are going to be a high percentage of these kids that are going to be stuck here for the rest of their life. Unfortunately, you have no choice but to like outwork everybody and to not help anyone and to gatekeep everything that you know, because like it's just like it's crabs in a bucket, you know. It's just like everyone's trying to get out, you know. So it's crazy how like and then we expect maybe like maybe not kids over there, but like I guess like parents or like the older generation to like hear us out and to like hear where we're coming from when like they experience like the exact opposite, you know. So do you feel like your mom was a big like, she gave like gatekeep energy, or she was just like, oh, like, you know, there's enough for everyone, whatever?
Well, I was gonna talk about this more in like the gatekeep topic that we're gonna talk about later, but I don't know if your mom ever did this, but my mom always tells me not to share all my secrets with everyone, because then they're going to know too much about you and use that against you.
Yeah.
Whether it is even with like your partner. I mean, apparently you're supposed to tell your mom everything. So to her, like, I got to share all my secrets because, you know, I'm always up with that of the day. Yeah, like, what is she going to do?
She's not going to do no harm.
My biggest op. No harm. But with your partner, with anyone else, your best friend, there's no best friends in life.
There's no, you don't, no one loves you.
But loves you except but your mother.
But I'm
so my mom always told me not to share all of my secrets, my hidden gems, and be a little mysterious, you know, be a little mysterious.
Okay, okay.
Because I mean, again, this is like a survival instinct, right?
Yeah.
there have been a lot of people who have been burned by working with family. Maybe you know this firsthand, but
I don't know nothing. Nothing about that.
Mushroom's biggest lore is literally that, just being burned by family and business.
And guys, relax.
So yeah, a lot of South Asians, they trust their uncle or like their in-law or something with a business venture, and then they get burned because someone ends up stealing the money or just whatever it is, right? So there's that aspect. And then second, it's like my mom has always told me to be kind of secretive and just not tell everyone everything, because being too vulnerable, I feel like in her eyes and a lot of like immigrant parents' eyes, is too being too open and emotional, where someone can take advantage of you and potentially use those secrets to like step on you to get to the top, right? So like what I was going to mention in the gatekeep topic that I was going to say later on is that a lot of, or many South Asian families and people that we've seen in our culture are very hesitant to like share how they got a job opportunity or like how they got a grant or an interview or how they bought a house with like little to no money and just coming to America, because they are scared that like somehow their success is going to be dimmed by the other person potentially getting to that point as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's kind of like I understand where it's coming from, because there's a lot of like generational trauma that comes with like that lesson, but I'm not like that any, I mean now I'm not anymore, you know.
Yeah I think like a lot of it stems from also like the point in time from when they immigrate here from their home country. Like I feel like every family has a different lore from like how they came. Everyone comes to America, or mostly everyone comes to America with very little like money or like very little help, and everyone has like their own journey into like having kids, finding jobs, learning English, finding a house, finding a city to live in. And I can't imagine like in that process there's probably just like so many people that like do you wrong. There's so many people that like, you know, say that they're gonna help you but like burn you over. There's like probably so much bad stuff that happens to them in that point in time when like, you know, we weren't even alive, that like we don't even know about, you know. And it's like the only way to find out is to have these conversations with our parents when we're older. But like when we're growing up and they're teaching us all these like harsh lessons, oh, don't trust this person, oh, like this is gonna happen, you better do this or else this is going to happen. Like, we always get mad at them because we hear, like, the opposite in school. But, you know, it's really important to, like, really hear them out when they're saying these things that, like, are not the most, like, pleasant to hear. Because, like, even if the delivery is faulty, like, they're coming from, like, a place of, like, experience.
You guys know that, like, when we were thinking of our podcast name, Difficult Dish, like, we were trying to think about something that would kind of relate to what we were talking about and the topics and stuff, and we thought of Difficult-ish because yeah, like our lives are difficult and maybe our parents don't understand, but it's ish, like it's difficult-ish because they're
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
We're still like nuances and things that we don't understand about their lives that were also difficult, but maybe doesn't compare in the same way between the two generations.
Wow.
So that like reminds me a little bit, you know, that was a good little breakdown. Good job, my boy. You know, something I don't like, but I think is very common, is the idea of like the trauma Olympics, right? Where not only do they want to gatekeep and not share how to, you know, buy a house or get a job or this and that.
You know what's crazy? Before you go on, I had something like very, very similar.
Okay,
like, to
can
say.
I say it first?
You could finish. Yeah, yeah, I was just like, I just want
you just
to
wants
know
to take my idea.
No, I don't. I just want it to be known that, like, you know, we're on the same like wavelength.
Okay,
you understand?
So okay, not sorry. Only do they want to gatekeep and not share how they got a job or, you know, got a house after immigrating to America, they also want to make sure that the other person knows how much they've went through to get to this point. And I feel like if you're not traumatized enough, then why are you even talking to me? You know, that's like the mindset.
Yeah,
it's their, it seems like their perspective is that you have to go through the same things that I did and be burned and have these like sacrifices and, you know, have these like racial slurs said at you and learn this language the same way that I did to get to where I am years mm-hmm. later mm-hmm. because why should I give you the easy way out and the shortcut to get becoming successful
mm-hmm.
you know.
Wow,
have you ever seen like uncles or aunties like talking to one another and they're like, oh, I went through this, and then it's like, oh yeah, but I went through this.
Yeah.
But then it also like does the opposite where they talk about the successes and they try to like one up one another.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen that. I think it's like the ones that do like make it out, or like the ones that maybe did have a bit more of a privilege, like when they came here, whether they were like already involved with like some people or already had family here or whatever, like, and they become successful and they become like resourceful and stuff, like, sometimes they'll be shy of like helping out someone who is like really deep down in the gutter because like they just like don't see them even as like worthy of these like good opportunities, you mm-hmm. know, like they'll see them as like, oh, like, you know, I'd rather help out someone that shows a little bit more like has a bigger chance of like really taking like making use of like these resources rather than just like mm-hmm. someone who's actually kind of suffering, you know. And like yeah. I saw that a lot more. Like I'm thinking about like this one family in Orlando specifically where like they're like the some like involved in some government, like Bangladesh government party, I don't know. And they have a lot of money and they're like very resourceful and they're just such dicks to like
wow.
to like the families, for example, like not my family but like kind of like my family, like didn't come from like much and like are not these super lavish like, oh, Bangali kind of families. Like I feel like they like to kind of stay in like their own little niche and their own little pocket and like
little
help
clique.
Out like they're people, you know. Yeah. They're people. But it's like, you know, if you meet someone who's a very humble kind of like from humble beginnings person, you're not gonna go out of your way to help them.
But you know what, something else that reminds me of that is casteism is still such a big thing, right? Especially in like India, even in Bangladesh, there are just levels of power and levels of money. So if you see someone that is coming from like a village and works a very like rural job that you might not deem as respectable enough, maybe you as someone who works in the offices and lives in a really beautiful, luxurious, expensive city in Bangladesh are looking down on that person, right?
Yeah.
And it's the same thing in America. You would think that there would be more woke people and that backwards thinking isn't as relevant anymore, but it's still so big, you know. Like you do not see a big rich family that is usually South Asian, Bangladeshi, whatever, marrying someone that is more of like a lower class, you know.
Yeah.
Usually when parents meet their partner's family, they're, again, it's out of like a survival mindset. They want to make sure that their kid is protected and yeah. financially secure. But
how much
usually,
money do you have in
usually
your bank account?
Their first question is just like, oh, what's their parents' background, how much money do they make, you know.
Yeah.
Again, to make sure that you're like safe and secure without the parents and financially. But it is such a big factor, you know. And whether you like it or not, there are still biases with that. even if you feel like your parents are a lot more like modern and, you know, forward thinking, it's going to be there regardless. It's going to be there for us. It's going to be there for everyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Something that I wrote down that's like kind of along these lines, but like, I feel like brown people our age just assume that like all brown people have like the same struggles and like have come from the same type of experiences. And I think that plays a part in like us not being like extra supportive towards each other, because, you know, it's like, I feel like when you look at everyone kind of like on an even playing field, like maybe you'll be more like kind of like similar to what I was saying earlier, like you'll be more receptive to like helping someone out because you're like, yeah, like, you know, like you're just like me, like I get it, da da da. But, you know, I think a lot of brown people don't realize that like I went through more than just like saying like someone saying my name wrong, or like I went through more than you know, my parents yelling at me. You know, I feel like all brown people, I've experienced this a lot, like especially growing up, where like everyone just expected, everyone has comes from the exact same type of background, has the exact same type of experiences growing up, and it makes it hard for like the kids that have actually, like, you know, not to say one person's struggle is harder than like another's, but like the person that does come from like a deeper hole or does come from like a more harsh background, it makes it harder for them because like they don't want to feel like they're crying for help by any means, but like they do want some individualism and they do want to be recognized for, like, you know, I just had like a harder journey than you did, and like they want to be treated with like some sort of respect and not just seen as like, oh, like, you know, maybe this wasn't hard for you, but like this was really hard for me.
Equity should be valued more than equality, because like equity acknowledges that people are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of how much you want them to be.
Yeah.
And they come from different playing fields, you know, like you're not going to give the same fence to someone who has two walking legs versus someone who's handicapped in a wheelchair, right?
Yeah.
So like if you come from a different background, you should not be given the same resources as someone else who comes from like maybe a wealthier background with more supportive parents or whatever it is, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I just, I saw a lot of that growing up, and I experienced a lot of that growing up. Was like, you know, I worked hard for like this college degree, like super duper duper hard, like not only like in school, but like I had so much going on outside of school that maybe another brown kid did not have to worry about.
Yeah,
you know. And sometimes I wish that like people like me were like, we're seeing for those types of things, you know. And I think they should be allowed to have, you know, just like a little bit more help or a little bit more stride in their journey, because it was harder for them, you know. It was hard for them, you know. I hear a lot like nowadays, like to broaden it in like the political spectrum, like when you talk about like white privilege, or you talk about, you know, certain groups having access to certain things, like we're not saying that just because I'm brown means that like I can't, like we don't have the same rights and the same opportunities and the same like ability to become successful. You know, it's never about like me not being able to, but it's just about recognizing that like some people's journeys are a little bit harder, you know. And like it's, and you know, if I do, and like inshallah when I do make it to the same place that you are at, just to like, you know, nod your head at me, like to just to like pat me on the shoulder for being like, okay, like I recognize that it was harder for you.
Yeah,
you know, I think like a lot of people really need that and really deserve that, and I think that like that stops a lot of brown people from like supporting each other.
Yeah,
you know, so
I think it could even be like small things, like, you know, maybe many white kids grew up with like etiquette class, not even etiquette class, but learning about like dinner table etiquette at a dinner table in their family, right? Like we never grew up with any of that bullshit. So when I got older and I noticed that people were putting their napkin as a bib on their chin, I was like, what the hell is going on here? And putting it on their lap, I just was so confused. So things like that, it's very generational, and you grow up with it by seeing like your family and cultures and traditions and things like that. We didn't really grow up with that in our household, so that affects a lot later on.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just like American culture is very individualistic and more open, I feel like. Yeah, there's a lot of gatekeeping still that happens, but I feel like it is a little bit more open, whereas we grew up with kind of the opposite, and that's kind of what we implemented in our world until we unlearned it, you know.
Yeah,
But something else that I want to talk about, the last topic that I have for this gatekeeping scarcity mindset nature and why there's much competition and jealousy and hatred sometimes, is the idea of respectability and competition, right?
What's that?
So in South Asian culture, we've talked about this so many times, right? Us being creatives is not seen as on the same level as us being like a doctor or an engineer, right?
Oh my God.
There's a lot of power and value in having a high-paying job, especially something that is respectable in society and will give you a secure family eventually, right? Like you being a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer. Those are like the top three things that we were always told to be growing up. And since there are so many like cultural pressures and expectations that are related to that, it kind of subconsciously make you judge other people that aren't in that career. So even me, who was going into, I mean, first I was a pre-nursing major, but then me.
You were a pre-nursing major?
Yeah. And then.
You wanted to be a nurse?
Yeah. And then why, I went into teaching because I liked helping people. Okay. And then I went into teaching, but even me, who was a creative and liked art and, you know, English and things like that, I had a negative view on other people who were also pursuing that.
You did?
Because, yeah, because I grew up not feeling like it was a real job or a stable career.
That's not nice.
It's not nice, but guess what? These are like the beliefs that you grew up with, and it's hard to just discard that, you know? And then also when you're being taught by your parents and by your family, like, oh, you have to work harder than your neighbor, or you have to work harder than your white counterparts, which is true. Like, sometimes to get the same opportunities and to be taken seriously in the workplace, you do have to work harder. And I think because you're competing for that first spot by burning yourself out and working harder than everyone else, it makes you feel like your only value is like with your job and how much money you make. And I think that subconsciously makes you compete with everyone else, even if you're not trying to, because you're just working so hard to impress your parents or your family and get to the top.
That's true.
You have any relation with this or no?
With what?
This ideology.
Like competing?
Yeah.
Yes, very much.
Were you ever like pitted against someone else? Or compared to someone else?
Yes, all the time. My entire life.
Oh, I see.
My entire life.
Like about what?
Good God. I used to get compared to like my little baby cousins all the time because
your little baby cousins?
Yes, they're still little baby cousins. They're 24 and 20.
So the one you got compared to was 2 years younger than you?
Huh? Oh, she's 25. Oh,
she's 25.
No, she's not. She's 24. She's about to turn 25. Relax. Okay. Relax. 24 and 20. Yeah, I got compared to them all the time because they spoke better Bangla than me. Which was facts.
It's true.
They definitely did.
It really is true.
But it's like, but you know, I couldn't really like tell my mom that like it's because like she didn't talk Bangla to me. That like is why like mine isn't as, you know, like can't say these things. But you know, like I got compared to about like a lot of things. I remember there was this one kid in the community. We'll call him
Jitu.
We'll call him Jitu. He was a Bengali kid that went to my school. Like similar, kind of like came from humble beginnings, and this kid was super smart, super smart. But he was like, respectively, like he was like a loser. Like he had like no friends. Like
why would you say that?
No, like he's the type of kid that did nothing but like study and get good grades. Like he had no friends. He had like was just like no extracurriculars. Like da da da. And like my mom would always compare me to him, and I'm just like in the back of my head, I'm like, mom, I don't want to be like him. Like I'm not trying to like, I understand he gets good grades, but like, you're not inspiring me.
There's
like
a difference between like book smarts and street smarts.
Right. And like, you know, you can't tell your mom that. You can't tell your mom that, you know, da da da. And I think I told this on the podcast before. Like, I like hung out with him and another friend like when I was like 19. Like, he went to UF and then was back one summer, and we hung out one time. I don't even know how. I think like we were hanging out with someone else in his neighborhood, and then like he was like out in his front yard.
Why are you hating on him right now?
No, I'm not hating. I was not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Now like, and then we hung out with him, and like we like went out to maybe like Wawa. It was like 11 p.m. and he was just like, I've never done this before. Like, he's never gone out at night.
That,
like,
makes me feel so sad.
And like, he was like so happy. He was like, oh my god, like, thanks guys, like, taking That's me so- out and shit. And like,
I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. He's in, he's like married, like in med school or some shit right now. Shout out Jitu. His name's not Jitu. Hopefully he's listening. But no, I definitely got compared to a lot, and it messed with me. I'm not gonna lie, it really, really did get to me. Not because like it didn't like lower my self esteem, but it just like made me upset at my mother for not recognizing all that I am good at, you know, and all that I do. You know, like, I never took it to heart. I never, like, oh my god, like, my cousin. You know, it's just like, come on, mom, like, I'm good at these things though. Like, how about, you know, why are we wasting our breath like doing comparisons and doing competitions when, like, mom, like, I work hard, like, I do this, I do that, you know?
I think it sucks when it's like you get compared to your neighbor or your best friend or like your sibling, because then it makes you start hating them even though they didn't do anything to you, because they're not the ones that are whispering in your mom's ears to like tell her to compare you to them. But it's also like you're so close with them, but then you get compared to them, so you're like, oh my god, this is my enemy, but also my bestie actually at the end of the day.
Facts.
So then you have the subconscious like competitive nature with them,
yeah,
that is not healthy for anyone.
Animosity
is a word. That's a good one, and then you grow up with that, and you just never know how to live for yourself anymore, and you're just constantly on this hamster wheel of like getting better and better for like everyone else's needs and views of you.
Yeah, and the thing with like our parents saying that is like, they're saying it without like giving you like they'll say like, oh, like, you're not as good as he is in this. Them saying that that's not like giving you a goal, you know? Like, the goal isn't like, the imaginary goal is like, okay, be as smart as him, but that's not like a physical goal to like reach, you know? That's like, and like, you know, if I do start getting better grades, like, there will be a new comparison, you know? Yeah. There will be something else to do. Like, our parents having that mindset is just like, that is them showing us that nothing will ever,
nothing
like,
is good
is
enough.
Like, nothing is ever going to be,
I don't know about
satisfactory
you, but
for them.
My parents were never like, oh, try to get good grades like him. It was more so like, look how much better he is. He got 100. Why can't you be like him? You know, like, it was
more so
shoving it down your throat. It wasn't even like, oh, we have this to inspire you and have this to like emulate you into your best self. Like, it was never like an aspirational type of comparison. It was more so like, I wish he was my son. Why are you in this house? Why are you with like my family name?
Facts.
How dare you come home with a 95?
On God.
You know, so.
Yeah. But
I'm
you
glad
know,
that you might have had like the more softer version.
No, I got more of that. I'm not gonna lie. But you know, God forbid, like, we turn the tables on them.
Oh.
We turn the table on mom. That mom doesn't yell at their kids all the time. That mom doesn't do it. God forbid I did any of that. My God.
Yeah.
I think I tried a couple times. I did not hear the end of it, bro. Like, God forbid I do any of that. And then my mom would pull this one on me. She'd be like, oh, like, stop comparing. Stop comparing. And then, like, she would start comparing. I'd be like, mom, stop comparing. She's like, I have to this time. I have to. That was her go-to. I have to this time. Because you don't get it. This time, I have to
compare. This time, you're pushing her over the edge.
I have to
compare. She has to. She has no choice but to compare.
Like, I didn't do anything, bro. I freaking rode my bicycle in the evening. I have to compare.
I have to compare. Why can't you ride your bike better? Oh, good one. You got any more thoughts on this one?
I got nothing else.
You like this episode?
My heart's racing.
Like, why is your heart? Because you're having cold brew.
Check my stress level, bro.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode on this nice little breakdown of just the competitive scarcity mindset nature that some of us might have seen and have brought up with. And maybe we'll do a part two on how to be more collaborative.
You got anything else? Like, any like closing thoughts? Anything else you had in mind that you want to share with the class?
No, I don't. Do you?
No.
Okay.
I just, you know, like, yeah, good.
Do you have like a 10-second piece of advice, maybe? Mine is consider clothing rentals sometimes if you are the type of person that changes their mind really quickly with fashion and you just want to try out clothing before you like fully commit. to a style, try out those websites where you can kind of rent styles every single month or two. So you can try it out and be trendy and then just return it after and see what you like and fit in.
I like that. That's a good one.
Do you have one or no?
Mine is when there's something in life that like you know you have to do or like you know is like the right thing to do, but you're scared to do it because it's hard in the beginning. Please remember that it literally does get easier the more that you do it.
Mm.
Like, for example, I've been doing a lot of cardio for the last week. I've been doing a lot of like super high incline treadmill speed walking, and I'll do like 45 minutes to an hour. And the first 30 minutes, my calves are on fire. My calves are burning. And I'm like, throughout the first 30 minutes, like 10 minute, 15 minute, I'm telling myself, okay, I gotta stop at 30 minutes. I gotta stop at 30 minutes. But you know what's crazy? Every single time that I do it, when I hit the 30 minute mark, my calves don't hurt anymore. And I'm able to go for another, I can go for another like 30 minutes if I wanted to. They genuinely stop hurting. Not stop, but you know, like,
it's all a mindset.
They chill a little bit. And I just, I've been thinking about that a lot. Like, damn, like, it really is. Like, once you get through like the first little bit, it genuinely does get easier.
I agree.
So, you know, like,
I agree.
Keep that in mind. That's it. That's it.
That was a good one, buddy. I agree with that. Our Bangla word of the day is Shubu Nova Borsho. That means Happy New Year. The week that we are filming this, it is Bengali New Year.
Yum.
So we are wishing you a beautiful spring and New Year, especially if you're Bangladeshi.
All that.
Shubu Nova Borsho.
Thank you.
But if you guys haven't followed us on our Instagram, we have no responses this episode because this was kind of like a surprise episode this week.
We just want to get this one out of here.
But you guys know we always post on our story before we record, so you can send in your responses. It's at Difficultish on Instagram, at Difficultish Podcast on TikTok. Make sure to rate. It doesn't take much time at all. Like, at all. And make sure to review if you're also loving this podcast. It really helps a lot. And like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. But we love you guys so much.
Love you guys.
And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week.
I love this.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.